And this morning I want to continue the sermon series that we started a few weeks ago, the Committed series, and we began by looking at the idea, the introduction looked at the idea of biblical commitment, what that might be. We then looked at what it means to be committed to our relationship with God. Last week we looked at being committed to our walk with God. And this morning I want to spend some time just looking at what it means to be committed to our, being committed to our responsibilities from God, because God gives every single one of us responsibilities. And he demands a response from us. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 16, either in your physical Bible or your digital Bible. John chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 7 to 15. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and in there it has a subtitle, which is, it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want, as we spend some time this morning in the Word, for you to think and to bear that in mind, that everything that we do, everything that our response, every revelation that we have about who God is because of the work of the Holy Spirit, the one who is working in us and through us, that none of us have the ability in any way to respond of ourselves except that the Holy Spirit works, does a work in us. Amen? And so we are dependent on the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 16, verses 7 to 15. And the context is that Jesus is telling his disciples that he's not going to be with them forever, that there will come a time when he will physically leave them and go away from them. He will return to the Father. And he says, it's important that I leave you. It's important that I return to the Father, because unless I return to the Father, I can't send the one who will help you, the one who will empower you, the one who will affirm you. That is the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to, if you like, to give a brief introduction to who the Holy Spirit is. And remember, the Holy Spirit isn't any less God. He's no less in, you know, it's not, there's not a hierarchy. It's not that there's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The three are co-equal. They are the Godhead. They're co-substantial. That is, they are made of the same stuff. They stand on equal footing. And so Jesus gives an, if you like, a brief introduction to the person, and remember, the Holy Spirit is a person of the Holy Spirit. So verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So right away, Jesus affirms and tells us, don't worry, it's necessary for me to return to the Father. Because actually, we'll be better off, or you'll be better off, if I do go back to the Father. And verse 8, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." And Jesus just reminding us again, affirming to us that it's the Holy Spirit who brings the revelation of who Christ is. We as a people are made to serve God by obediently carrying out whatever it is that God has asked us to do. God has entrusted every single one of us who calls him Father, who knows it, who calls ourselves student of Jesus, he has entrusted us with things to do. Serving by nature implies a responsibility. And so our responsibility starts when it comes through service. The core foundation of how God operates is the responsibility that he has put upon us, because we have the ability to do his will. God does not put the measure of responsibility on any other thing in creation, but he puts responsibility on us because we intrinsically have the ability to carry out and to fulfill his will and his purpose. When it comes to God, he's undoubtedly a highly responsible God. He is very responsible. Some people may not feel that, but he is. All throughout history, he has always been the one who makes the first move when things need to be done. When we look in the scripture, even our relationship with God, it was God that made the first move toward us. It's not us, but God made the first move to us even before we had any desire to know him. Even before we had any desire to be called his friend, God had already initiated a move toward us. God had already made it possible for us to have relationship with him. And I want to say that quite clearly this morning. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is nothing holding you back because God has already made it possible for you to have relationship with him, irrespective of what your background is. Having made the first move, however, God expects us then to make the next move. In other words, God expects us to respond to him. And again, I want to say that right now, that if you have not already responded to the call of God, if you have not already made Christ Jesus your Lord and Savior, there's nothing holding you back because God has already made that first move. And part of our responsibility, in fact, I would say probably our greatest responsibility, is to respond to what Christ has done on the cross. That's the greatest responsibility we will ever have, is to respond to what Christ has done on the cross. God, throughout history, has been assigning humankind with various types of responsibility. When you look in the scriptures, right through from Genesis in the Garden of Eden, right through to the last book of Revelation, it's full of God imparting levels and measures of responsibility on his people. He's made us responsible individuals. He's made us to live responsibly. Although when you look at the lives of some people, you might argue whether or not they are responsible or not. Sometimes I find it hard to believe. I'm going to confession here. I might be a 58-year-old, but in my thinking, sometimes I still feel like an 18-year-old. I think I'm totally irresponsible. I don't feel as though I'm properly grown up yet. And yet, God chooses to put responsibility on us. And among those responsibilities are from God are our responsibilities toward God, our responsibilities toward ourselves and toward family members, and also toward those around us. And we work those out in every area and aspect of our lives. But I just want to say this morning that out of the many responsibilities that we have, the key responsibility, the most important, is our commitment to the responsibilities that God has put on us. Recognizing that God has called us to something. Our lives are not without purpose and without meaning, but God has called us to something. And therefore, there is a responsibility that sits upon us that God himself has placed upon us. And God says that if we are willing to carry out those responsibilities wholeheartedly, it will automatically empower us to carry out anything else that he gives. We've seen it, haven't we, that the way that God works is God begins by giving us a small measure of responsibility. In fact, Jesus said, didn't he, that he says, if you are faithful with the little things, then you're able to handle the much bigger things. And that's all about responsibility. God says that if you will look after that measure of responsibility that I impart to you, whatever size that might be, he says, then I'm willing to trust you with greater responsibility. And he's called us to be responsible individuals in the kingdom. I want this morning to just talk about three aspects of our responsibilities from being committed to our responsibilities from God. And the first one is this, that we commit to our responsibility to obey God. we have a responsibility to obey God. When we look in Genesis, right at the very beginning, in fact, let me read it, Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17, we see right at the very beginning that God imparted responsibility to us. It says this, verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man," this is at the creation of all things, "commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" You see, right at the very beginning, God gave mankind a responsibility. He said, "Look, this is what I'm asking you to do, and I'm asking you to bear this. I'm asking you to obey it." And just that one thing Adam couldn't get right. You know, obedience is so key to our walk with God. One of the things that I see, particularly now that I have grandchildren, is that you do not have to teach children how to disobey. Am I right? You don't have to teach children how to disobey. They learn to say no quick enough. They learn to exercise their own will quick enough. You don't have to teach them, because there is something intrinsic in us that has a natural desire to go our own way and to do our own thing. But obedience is the first law of the kingdom of God. God wants us to walk and to live in obedience. Throughout the Word of God, obedience has always been something that plays the foremost role in the lives of people who are serving God. It's those who walk in obedience. When you look in the Scripture, you see lives marked with obedience to God. Obedience, therefore, is an indispensable, I would say, necessity as far as serving and seeking God. If you want to live a full life, if you want the abundant full life that God, that Jesus himself promises us, then first of all, we need to understand that we have a responsibility to walk in obedience to God, to be committed to be obedient to God. We are commanded to respond to God's call and his purpose for our lives obediently and diligently. And in fact, the Scriptures emphasize and tell us that every blessing that follows, that comes into our life, is built upon our obedience. And therefore, if we want to live the blessed life, we need to learn how to be committed to the responsibilities, committed to being obedient to God. Luke 11:28, Jesus reminds us himself, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And I know last week, Dave Lucas, when he spoke about being committed to our walk with God, he emphasized the fact that it's not just about just hearing and reading the word, but actually it's about doing what the word says. And there is part of the responsibility. Our responsibility is not just to hear what God is saying. Obedience is not just to hear God, but actually there's a second part in effecting and working out what God tells us to do, what he requires of us. God speaks to us constantly through the means of his written word, and the word is so important. This word, the Bible, is so important, because how can we know what God requires of us unless we get to know God? And the way we get to know God is through reading his word, because this presents a black and white picture, if you like, of who God is. It shows us the nature, the character of God. God in his word sets out how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to walk, how we can inherit his blessings that he promises to us. But in spite of God's constant willingness to act on behalf of us, if we don't take up our own God-given responsibility to respond to him, then everything stays the same. There is a requirement that, having heard what God requires of us, there is a responsibility for us then to submit ourselves into the authority of his word. You see, the word without a submission is meaningless. it will never, unless we can read the word and we can read the promises of God, but unless we appropriate those things into our lives, they remain meaningless. They have no effect. Hallelujah. It's worth keeping in mind that the responsibility that we have toward God is a very sacrificial responsibility. In other words, it requires that we set aside our own desires, our own needs, our own aspirations for the purposes of God. It requires a measure of sacrifice, saying, not my will, just like Jesus did, you remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, Father, but your will be done and effected in my life. Obedience requires a measure of sacrifice. Responsibility is all about what we are commanded to do and not what we want to do. Because God imparts to us what His will. There is a truth in the scripture, and it's this, that God will never do for us what He requires us to do, what is our responsibility. In other words, you know, God has made it possible for every single person, without exception, to have a relationship with Him through the person of Christ Jesus by simple faith, by trusting that Jesus is who He says He is, by trusting that Jesus did what He said He did, by conquering the power of death and sin, and through His life, His death and resurrection, made it possible for us to have a new start, a new life, and to have relationship with God. And we receive that by simple faith. We receive that by simple faith. But the responsibility to take up what the provision that God has made lies squarely with us. It doesn't lie with the person sat next to you, behind you, in front of you. It doesn't lie with your mum, your dad, your grandparents. The responsibility to respond to God's invitation for friendship and relationship with Him lies with us, in us obeying and responding to the call of God. You see, the Word of God speaks life. It gives guidance. It speaks about deliverance and protection. It speaks about blessing, healing, and salvation. It speaks about restoration. And all of those things are possible and can be ours when we respond to God, when we pick up our responsibility to respond to His call. Our obedience to God through faith is the thing, I want to say, that will allow us to break through. If we're struggling, the thing that will allow us to break through is simple faith. It really isn't very hard. It really isn't very complicated. God says simple faith, the faith like a child, is the thing that brings us revelation and into relationship with Him. So the first thing then is in terms of being committed is to our responsibilities from God is that we need to commit to our responsibility to obey God. What is God asking you to do this morning? What has He been asking you to do in the course of your life? And you know God has been speaking to you. You know without a doubt. Don't put it off. Don't sideline it. Our responsibility is to commit to obeying God. The second thing then is to commit to the responsibilities to ourselves. Ephesians, Paul in his letter to the Ephesians church said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." There it is, through faith. "And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." So, look, it doesn't get any clearer than this, that if we want to know God, if we want to be saved, in other words, if we want to have that assurance that when this life is past and we stand before God, and every single one of us without a doubt will stand before God, every single one of us are created to live an eternal life. It just depends where you're going to spend eternity, but every single one of us are created for eternity. it tells us clearly there that it is through faith. It's not, in other words, it's not our, it says it's not our own doing, but actually it's a gift of God. So goodness me, even our salvation we don't is not of our own doing, but God himself makes it possible for us to be saved. And again, in John's Gospel, John 3:16, we know the text, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And again, if you want to know what eternal life is, there is only one definition of eternal life. You find it in John 17, verse 3, and it says this. It says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That is the only definition the scriptures give of what eternal life is. Eternal life, in a nutshell, is knowing God through Christ Jesus. If you want to have eternal life, if you want to spend eternity in the presence of God, you need to get to know Jesus, because there is no other way. That's part of the responsibility to ourselves. I want a good life. I want an abundant life that Jesus promises. And I'm sure you want the abundant life that Jesus promises as well. So surely, you know, the responsibility that you have is to respond to him, to respond to his call. Hallelujah. Last week, David Lucas, in speaking about our walk with God, reminded us of the two key commandments that God himself gives us, or Jesus gives us, the most important responsibilities. And it was this, in Matthew's gospel: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind." And then the second commandment was this: "Love your neighbor as yourself." That speaks about a total commitment toward God. And again, there is part of our responsibility toward God and toward ourselves, that we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, that is, you know, and all our mind. That's part of the responsibility that God imparts to us in responding to him, that we hold nothing back, but we respond wholeheartedly. I wonder this morning, are you holding back? Have you never, ever responded to God? Because it's an open invitation. It's an open invitation. It doesn't get any easier than this, friends. God has done everything necessary so that we can enjoy relationship with him. The good news is that salvation has already been made available by God himself. You don't have to do anything except respond to the call and respond to the responsibility of responding to Christ that God has put on us. And part of that responsibility, part of that commitment to ourselves, is then, having responded to Christ Jesus, we then make the decision that we are going to leave the old self behind. The Bible tells us, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. And that has to be good news, surely, for anyone who wants to come into relationship with God. Surely that has to be good news, that every single one of us can be new creations. It surely has to be good news, the fact that irrespective of what our lives looked like and the lives that we lived up to the point of knowing Jesus and putting our trust in him, that actually we can live a different life. The world has a saying, doesn't it, that a leopard can't change its spots. But thank goodness that the gospel is a gospel of hope, and the gospel tells us that we can be something different and that we can have a new life and be something better in and through the person of Christ Jesus and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That is good news for every single one of us, because we were all destined for an eternity separated from God. We were all going to hell. But God, in his love, infinite love, and his grace, made it possible for us to have a different future. Sadly, though, sadly, and it is sadly, there are many people who allow just any reason, insignificant reason, they make up all sorts of excuses for not responding to God. I'll respond when I get this sorted out. Listen, God is not telling you have to be perfect to respond to him. He simply says, come. Even after we come, none of us are perfect. None of us will be perfect this side of glory. It's a constant work that the Holy Spirit is doing in us, perfecting us and making us like Jesus. And so listen, don't think that, you know, you'll respond to Jesus when you've sorted this particular issue out, because Jesus says, come as you are. He says, just demonstrate a willingness to come to him, but more than that, demonstrate a willingness to turn away from your old life. And again, you know, I talk about repentance is feeling such a repulsive, if you like, to the way that you're living. And I know some of you are sat there and you think you know the things that you've done in the past, and you think about it and you are physically sickened to believe that you could do those things in the past. Well, listen, repentance is similar, because repentance is coming to that place where you feel so physically sick about the life that you were living and you have been living, that it causes you to want to turn away from it. It causes you to want to stop doing what you were doing. And the great thing is this, is that God says he makes it possible through the empowering of his Holy Spirit to do that when we respond by faith. When we respond by faith. You see, salvation talks about or implies a looking forward, not looking back, but a moving forward. Any of you who drive will know, if you spend too much time, the rear view mirror is great, but if you spend all your time looking in the rear view mirror, you're going to have an accident, because you spend your time looking forward. And salvation is like that. You don't spend your time looking back at all the mistakes that you made, all the things you've done wrong, but actually salvation is about looking forward with a new hope, moving forward into the new life that Christ himself has purchased for us. Jesus said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness above all else. Listen, all you have to do, and it is all you have to do, is simply respond to Christ, because he's made the way. The responsibility that we have to ourselves is significant, because the decision that we make in responding to Christ will have an eternal impact. And therefore, the responsibility to ourselves is significant. So commit to our responsibility to obey God, commit to our responsibilities to ourselves, and the third thing I want to finish with is this, committing to our responsibilities to others. We, as I've already said, have been entrusted with certain responsibilities that we have to exercise, not just to ourselves, not just toward God, but there are responsibilities that we have to exercise toward others, to those who are marginalized, to those on the outside, to those who, listen, to those who do not yet know Jesus. There is a responsibility that each of us have, and it's called the commission. You see, Jesus commissioned every single one of us with this. He said, go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And right there is no greater responsibility that we have to others than to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. No greater responsibility. We meet people every single day who do not yet know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And yet, to the greater part, most of us neglect those things. I've just come back, as you know, last night, got back from holiday, and we were on a cruise, and one of the things about being on a cruise is that there is a captive audience. You know, you're not going anywhere. You know, you're all on the, you're literally all in the same boat together, although technically you should say ship, but you're all in the same boat together. And all the time I was on ship, I'm thinking, Lord, who can I speak to? Who can I share the gospel with? Because it's a captive audience. You know, the great thing is you sit and you can talk to people, and invariably people, you know, it gets around to what do you do, you know, as a living. So there's opportunities to share the gospel, and we have to be looking for opportunities all the time. We're not looking for a body count, but our responsibility that God has given us to others is to share the good news of Christ Jesus. And listen, I know sometimes the thing that holds us back is we're more self-conscious about being rejected or being embarrassed or whatever. But listen, we can't lose if we share the gospel. We can't lose, because what's the best that can happen if we share the gospel? The best that can happen is someone acknowledges the sin in their life and acknowledges their need of God, and they receive Christ. That's the best that can happen. What's the worst that can happen? They can reject Christ. But even rejecting Christ is not a bad thing, because the point is this, is that they have heard the gospel in love. And having heard the gospel, it gives them an opportunity to respond. Because every single one of us, will one day stand before God, and we are going to have to give an account of what we did with Christ. And so individuals may reject the gospel at that moment, but the point is this, is that they have heard the gospel. And that gives them the opportunity then to respond to Christ. So listen, we're in a win-win situation. There's no reason why we shouldn't share the gospel of Christ Jesus, because it's not for our sake, it's for their sake. And we know the difference that Christ can make in our lives, because we bear the evidence of that. We are the witnesses of that. And so let me encourage you, we commit to the greatest responsibility to others, and that is to share the gospel. Those who have a spiritual need, those who are going to a lost eternity. Luke's gospel gives us a principle in Luke 12:48. It states, from everyone who has been given, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. In other words, what it's saying is, having received Christ, having responded to the gospel, we don't have the liberty, we don't have the option of just sitting back. There is a responsibility upon us to share what we ourselves have found in and through Christ Jesus. Responsibility then, being committed to the responsibilities from God, has to be taken seriously. We can't duck, we can't dive, we can't dodge, we can't weave. God has placed clear responsibilities on us as students of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just come into the kingdom and then sit there doing nothing. There are responsibilities on us that we are called to exercise and execute by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that because we are faulty, we are human, we fail. I know that sometimes we struggle with some areas in our lives to fulfill those things in terms of picking up the responsibilities. But the great thing, again, coming back to what we read at the beginning, is that God himself has given us the means and the way of doing that through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, all things become possible. Our failure, friends, to commit through excuses will not make God change his mind about what he wants to do in us. You can make all the excuses you want, but God still has a great plan, a great purpose for all of our lives, and his desire is that we fulfill it as we seek to commit our lives to him, as we seek to commit to the responsibilities that he himself has put upon us. And so commit, friends, to our responsibility to obey God. Commit to our responsibilities to ourselves, and commit to our responsibilities to others.